We don't understand how God works because God doesn't work in time. He uses time, but he doesn't work in it. Right? And I know you like illustrations, and I have to tell you that unknowingly, we have a very good illustration today about God's microscopic view. Little things, okay? Last week, we had a baptism. Last week, we had missionaries. Last week, we had 95 people here, okay? This week, we don't. Which one's more important? Answer is they both are. Never judge something by its size. How many people were at the Nativity? Not that many. It had been a failure in today's church market. Oh, it was only a few. And on top of it, if you count the animals, you had a few more. And there are people that are always tempted to add, well, we could add all the bugs. I mean, we'd have great numbers if it was that case. But most often in Scripture, if you read it and you study it, God does the most out of the least. He does the most out of the least. Do you know how many people in the Bible are not named, not known, not nothing? But God chose to put them in the book. He chose to put them in there. We'll find out in eternity who they were. That's really important. God's microscopic view. Small does not mean insignificant. It does not. Because if that were the case, you'd have to look at that little baby and go, gee whiz, what do they have to offer? Just a lot of things that, you know, different sounds and sights. But you see to the future. You see to God's future. And it's a totally different story. How many are glad that the Lord doesn't judge us and judge his work the way people do? How many know who William Carey was? He was a missionary to India many, 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 many years ago. And anytime you're a missionary, anytime you're in the service of the Lord, the number one goal is always to reach the lost. That's what you're there for, right? First year, nothing. Report back to the headquarters. A lot of seed out there, but no harvest. Second year, that doubled. Nothing. Third year, nothing. Do you know in some organizations he'd have been kicked out? Because he didn't show any fruit. And by the way, fruit in the Bible is not numbers. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the indicator if God is there. Fourth year, nothing. Do you see a pattern here? Fifth year, nothing. Oh, the sixth year, that's the number of man. There's got to be a lot. Nothing. It wasn't until he got to the seventh year. And he got one. But that's a failure in a lot of places. Jerry, when you were working hard at selling, which you still are, but in your main time, if you came back after 7 years and had sold one item, well, they just showed you the curb in the first year, probably the first month. They're looking for results. God has a different book. He really does. And his view is microscopic. Something that looks small, something that looks insignificant, is not insignificant in God's sight. And you better be grateful. Because the world passes by all of us, but God didn't. Microscope, I didn't put this in the study, but it comes from two Greek words, micros, which means small or little, and scopion, which means to look or to see. God, his eyes look right into Janet, and he sees the wide eternal view. If you could see that, you wouldn't be able to sit on the chair. You'd be so excited. If you could see the full volume of what God is going to bring through your life, even though you haven't seen the answer to prayer you're waiting for, you haven't seen it the way you want to see it, but in God doesn't lose anything. You'd be shocked at what God sees, which is why God wants us to look through his lens, not through our own. So, we're going to the scripture. You remember that book? You remember in Jonestown, they got rid of all the Bibles? And he fed them Kool-Aid? And killed them all? This is the book that brings life. Anybody tells you you don't need it, run as fast as you can from them. Because this is life. Luke 16, the first verse, 10th verse. Luke 16, 10. It's talking about managing things and stuff like that. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. How many have ever said, well, it don't matter, it's just a little something. No one's going to see if I take that little thing. Nobody's going to see those little things. Oh, guess who's watching, folks? God sees it. He knows it. And so the text here is talking about who is trustworthy, who can be trusted with the little things of God. I remember when I worked at Event Sales and we were trying to hire some people, and the owners asked me why I couldn't get anybody to want to come. And I said, well, the problem is they want your job. It's your salary. Are you willing to give it up? They said, no. I said, well, there you go then. Nobody wants to work for what you're offering them. He didn't like the answer, but it was true. God doesn't define trustworthiness by the amount or the quantity of what happens, but by the quality. And the quality of your attitude. Right? He judges it by the quality. So the Bible says, whoever can be trusted with a little can be trusted with a lot. The word whoever in the Greek, ho, is the definite article. So it's not saying everybody is trustworthy, it's saying those specific ones who are trustworthy. And God knows who they are. Now, just because you have a gazillion people come forward in a meeting doesn't make you trustworthy. Makes you a good orator, maybe even a good psychologist. Doesn't make you trustworthy. God knows the difference. So he's saying in this word, trusted, and trustworthy is the Greek word pistos, and it means faithful and reliable and trustworthy. Would you have somebody come into your home that wasn't trustworthy and fix something for you? I know they say a lot that you don't really need to worry about the character of your plumber, but I think you probably do, because if he don't do it right, you'll be singing a different song very quickly and having major problems. The character quality is extremely important, certainly more so in Christianity. This word comes from the word patho, which means to be persuaded, and is the root, the same root as pistis, which means faith, what you trust, how you trust God. But the difference here is the word we're talking about is being trustworthy. It's talking about your behavior as opposed to your belief and your faith and your tentative belief. But if you really believe something, you'll do something about it, right? If I announced there was a fire in here and y'all just sat here, you might believe it, but if you don't do something about it, you're going to die in a fire. There has to be works that correspond, not works for salvation, but works that follow. That's what the book of James is all about. So we're talking here about persons that show themselves faithful in transactions of business, execution of commands, and a discharge of duties. Do you know it's really important that we obey the little things? And don't shirk them off and go, well, who cares? Nobody's watching. God's watching. He knows if we're faithful. He knows if we can be trusted. And the truth is, that's what the little things teach us, if we can be trusted. I was talking to somebody when I used to work there, and he said, well, I want to do the big stuff. I said, really? Well, I don't know what you do with the small things. So until I know that, you ain't doing nothing. I'm not giving something that's important to somebody who's not going to treat it with any value. This is the way God works. The other thing I think is really interesting is we trust the Lord, right? That's the basis of our belief. That's the basis of our life in Christ. But the real question we might want to ask ourselves, does God trust us? Which is a sobering thought. Can you be trusted with the things of God? Luke 19:17 talks about where Jesus said, well done, slave. I will make you were faithful over a little. I will make you faithful over 10 cities. I will significantly increase your work. Now, we have to be very careful on that too, because, you know, there's a lot of people that give to get. If your motive is to get and to be this self-important person, that's the wrong motive. That's not the quality that the Lord is looking for. We're supposed to serve because we love Him. We love because He first loved us. We don't serve or give to get. Contrary to kind of a belief in a major portion of the Christian market, which is if you give to God, He'll give you back 100%. Well, the way people interpret that is they'll get back 100% money. Hey, God might give you something more important. Like, let's think. How about freedom of mind? How about healing of memories? How about the salvation of your loved one? That has more value than the money, I'll tell you that. But everything is seen in terms of monetary instead of God's work, the way He works. So, whoever is trustworthy, are you trustworthy? Does God see you as trustworthy? We're always saying, Lord, why haven't you answered? Where are you, God? And it's always God's fault. And I think He might want to say to us on occasion, where have you been? What are you doing? Whoever sees beyond the unseen is a trustworthy person in God's sight. Because that's how God sees. One of the favorite scriptures the Lord gave me years ago in just interpreting what happens and what doesn't happen in church and in ministry was this one. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Now today we'd look like a failure. Just be honest. Because we have a gaping hole here. But that's not a failure. It's not. Not in God's economy. Never think that way. Because you know what that would mean? That would mean all of you that are here are a waste of time. And I don't view it that way. All the Lord has to do is work in one person where it explodes His life, and that explodes and advances His kingdom. That's how God, He does more through little things and a few people than He's ever done through big crowds and big things. The word little, the Greek word, it actually is the same word where we get elastic from. When we're trusting the Lord because we don't see the answers, because the ones that are there are very little and seem scrawny, God is stretching us. He's stretching our view of Him. That's what He's doing. So little, in the Greek here, is a word that means very small. The least in size. I mean, the puniest little nothing. You can barely see it with your own eyes. That's why you have a microscope. Because a microscope, what you can't see with your eyes, you can see through that lens. And the first microscope that was ever done was an optical one where the light would come and shine on it, and you could see the image. And it was huge, and you could, oh my gosh, I thought nothing was there. Look at what's there. Remember one of the great scriptures? If you have faith, like a what? Mustard seed. You can't see that either. But guess who does see it? Guess who sees the lives of souls in that mustard seed? God sees it. But if you judge it solely by the size or what you can't see, you'll be discouraged significantly. Always see it from God's sight. This word is connected to alaxistos, and it means it's a superlative form of micros. It means so small, very least the smallest. I mean, you can't even qualify it. That's how tiny it is. And seemingly, see, people put insignificant on it when it's really not insignificant. It really isn't. So, I'm so grateful because this word also comes from another word that means short. And everybody that's short, God bless us, okay? The elevator just doesn't go up, but you know what? There's life on every floor, so God is still working. May have to ask some of you what the weather is like up higher, but that's okay. God does his work his way and confounds the work and the ideas of many. And the Bible says, this little will become much in God's hands. That seed, that mustard seed you can't see, if you could see the zoom lens of God's view of all the people and all the lives that are going to be changed, well, first of all, a lot of people would be proudful, so the Lord has to nip that in the bud. But it's not our work, it's God's work. I mean, you just be shocked. When we get to heaven someday, someone's going to come up and go, you know, Susan, God touched me through your life, and I know you're going to think, I never met her. You bet. That's how God works. He connects this and this, but it's not a direct connection sometimes. That's how the Lord works. So he gets the glory and we get the blessing. The word much in the Greek, polis, means much, many, often, and it has an emphasis on quality. How many know we should give our best to the Lord, even if it's small? Say you invite somebody over for coffee. You know? I mean, coffee may not be in heaven, but we're trusting that person will be. That's not small to God. That's bigger than you think. What did Jesus say? You give a cup of water in my name. God honors that. Never, never doubt it and never minimize it because the small things are big to God. 11th verse I'm going to read just because I want to. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of eternity? Who's going to trust you? God isn't. It all matters. It's all important. Now I want you to turn to Luke 21. This is about giving, how small you can give. We used to attend a church where they'd announce what people gave. And that would drive me nuts. I wanted to stand up in the service and say, you just stole their blessing. And on top of it, you made everybody that couldn't afford to, made them feel horrible. You do not mishandle the work of God. So, here we have the widow. We have a few widows here. You understand how difficult life gets. All right? So, 1-4. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury, and he also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others, and all these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Now, when Jesus said she gave more than they did, they must have all went, man, he must be rockers. What do you mean she gave more? She gave two little nothings, the smallest denomination of any money at that time. Meant nothing. It wasn't going to even probably pay a bill. But Jesus has a different standard. And she's in the Bible. She's in the written record of what she gave. And I believe the Lord didn't put the names in because, for the same reason, he's not looking to honor the people other than include them, but he's looking for the glory to go to the Father. You put all the names in, then it sounds like people are doing the work. And it's God that's doing the work. Okay? It's easy to give when you're in a good strait, when you have a lot of income. Yet I know a lot of people through the years that gave nothing because it was more important they gave to themselves first. Bible's very clear. You give God first. You give him the best. You do not give him the leftovers. That's not scriptural. This woman, this widow, she gave the mite. She gave two. And a mite, laptos, is a peeled, fine, thin, small, light. It basically means insignificant piece of coin. Very little. But it was all she had. They were either copper or bronze. But dig this. This mite made her mighty in the sight of God. It made her mighty in the sight of God. Because this was all she had. She had nothing else to offer. She didn't even give only one. She gave both. And people would have said, you gave nothing. You didn't do a thing. I'm so glad Jesus has a different definition. I really am. Bible says she gave more. Pleon means more excellent, very great, many, and of higher value. Whose value? Jesus. That's who's setting the value here. It is Jesus himself. Now, I want you to notice in the second part of the pronunciation of pleon, the word is own. Who owns our money? Who owns our talent? Who owns our property? Who owns our bodies? Who owns everything? The Lord. It's really not ours. So when the Lord says, give, okay, Lord, it's yours. I guess I better do it. And do it, the Bible says, hilariously. That means extremely joyfully. Not like God has to rip it out of your hand. I used to be like that. When I first got saved, I'd give my time, didn't bother me. I'd give all kinds of things, but to give money, mm-mm. Then I finally would give the tithe because I knew I had to do that, but it wasn't particularly joyful. I did it out of obedience, but not out of a joyful obedience. This woman, Jesus said, gave more than anybody else in comparison to the heart and to their own resource. Never judge yourself by what you can and can't do. Judge yourself by the heart you give it in. That's what the Lord looks at. What's behind it? He alone knows the exchange rate. Why? Because he set it up. When he looks under that microscope and he sees that cup of coffee or something you gave to somebody, he sees all the people that are going to be affected by that into eternity. Can you imagine that? That's a lot to see under the microscope, but God sees it. Dave has one more picture up there. I see you. You know, there's a lot of people in the ICU. There's a lot of people that are on the verge of death spiritually, and they don't even know it. That's the worst part. They think they're alive, but they're dead because they have religion and not a relationship. God wants us to touch them. He wants us to use the little things. And he's also testing us to see the nature of our own service and if we can be trusted with anything bigger. He's looking for that as well. But never discount the small things. Do not. If we're going to discount the small things, we might as well just throw the Bible out the window. Because then Bethlehem is a failure. Calvary is a failure. And even though Jesus showed himself in resurrection to hundreds and hundreds of people, they didn't all come to the tomb. It was only a few that came. Don't judge it by the number. Judge it by the greatness of God, how big he is. And I'm praying that you'll see little by little the people affected by your kindness, by your prayer, by your scripture reading, by your witness, whatever it is, just by your love and a good Christian, solid witness in the community. God will touch people. An altar call doesn't just happen at the altar. It can happen anywhere. When people realize, hey, that's a true Christian. I haven't met one before. I didn't know what they looked like. And they see it in you. Don't judge the size. Okay? How many are waiting for answers and you've been waiting 100 years? Well, maybe 50. But you've been waiting a long time. I know Janet has been waiting. Is God unfaithful? No. When Dean makes a profession of faith, and he will, do you realize how many people are going to be touched by that? Man, we're going to have to pay for another roof because the roof's coming off. Fabulous. I want you to know today that whatever you're doing in the right spirit under the heart of God. The Lord is going to bless it, and it's going to be eternal. And never, never minimize the wonderful work of our wonderful Savior. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful today, Lord Jesus, because you mean exactly what you said. You said, she has done more than all of these that gave great wealth. Why? But she gave out of, really out of her need. She gave out of her sorrow. She gave out of her emptiness. She didn't just give God a little tip. Say, thanks for the service, God. And then went on his way. She surrendered her entire resource. Father, I thank you, Lord, that the testimony of faith, the love of God, and all the things, Lord, that have gone through this church and continue to this day are not small at all. In your vision, they are massive. And eternity will be shaped because of it. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage any that are discouraged in prayer, in service, whatever the case might be. Lord Jesus, if we could see your zoom lens, oh, nobody could keep us down. We'd be so excited. Lord Jesus, we put our trust in you. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you, Lord, as Joyce and Roger are just coming, that they are at the nursing home and all the ministry to nursing homes and to hospitals and to people, Lord, in disarray. The world would say they're not going to come to church. There's no value. Oh, Lord, we're not here to build this church. We're here to build the kingdom of God and to honor Jesus Christ. And you're going to do more through that than anything we could ever imagine. Father, so I pray today that we would see things your way. Little is much when we put it in your hands, Lord Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you. Lord, help us never to judge it by the outcome or by the size, but to judge it by the great heart of God, which is eternal. And I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing our final song. would like us to close the service today by whoever would like to, and this can be more than one person, to thank God for the little things, for the people maybe that you've ministered to, maybe for the people that prayed for you, whatever it might be. But let's keep our eyes on him, because he's looking through that microscopic lens and he sees something that is beyond our understanding. So just lead out if you'd like to thank him, just whatever's in your heart, and then I will close.